Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 93.7 WEI. It's Rich, Ken. Ted Johnson's going to be back with us on Monday, and you can call us at 617-779-7937. Also, you can launch us a take grenade. We'll play those sometime this hour. Go to the Odyssey app. Press that microphone button, leave us a message, and we'll play them here in just a few. Real quick, before we put top-tier Terp on, I want to play this clip because this is a video that's been on social media. Bomani Jones and his friend, I'm not sure who he's speaking to in this video, I forget. But Bomani Jones is speaking about when Jaylen Brown was traded, how Jason Tatum should have spoken up and say something. And the reason this is interesting is because it was liked by one Jaylen Brown. Let's let it roll.
Yeah. Thing I don't like, though, if you f*** with me, Jason Tatum, you should went in that motherfucking off and sat down to motherfucking, hey, let me tell you, motherfucker, that's my goddamn guy. Keep that motherfucker here.
Well, that's the part I'm actually surprised hasn't come up a little bit more, is that the Celtics had clearly decided that Jason Tatum is the one, even if he's coming off the Achilles tear. But he clearly did not jump in front of the bus on this one, right? Even if you don't think that Tatum got him out of there, Tatum did not keep him there. And I think that there's a story in that part.
Okay, the fact that that was liked, we got the old thumbs up by Mr. Jaylen Brown, really says where he stands on all of this. He doesn't think that Jason Tatum did all he could do to keep him around. And that is why, and many other reasons, including the old Vegas basketball going on right now in Summer League with Justin Turpin from WEEI.com, top-tier Terp, a guy who is shaking the trees, getting the interviews, speaking to Missoula, and listening to all of his weird-ass kung fu references that he throws at him. Justin, how's everything out in Vegas, my friend?
It is hot, but the basketball is great, so it's been a good time.
It's hot, but the basketball is hotter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where are you staying, the Luxor?
No. A bunch of us got an Airbnb actually, so it's a little bit better.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Yes. The Luxor, you gotta check the bed sheets there. You can leave with crabs. I'm not speaking from experience. Okay. So, Justin, first, can you kind of tell me what your take is on? I don't know if you saw that, but that clip we played right there, the Bomani Jones one, where he was talking about how Jaylen Brown Jason Tatum should have spoken up and said something. Jaylen Brown liked that. What are you hearing, and what does that say to you about how this whole thing ended?
I mean, yeah, there's certainly something there. I mean, that would partially explain some of the urgency, right? Like, at least Jason Tatum might not have went to the Celtics and said, I want Jaylen Brown gone. But he didn't say, I want him here, because otherwise he probably would be here. Like, that's the one thing I really can't wrap my head around here still, is why now and why for that package? You could have done this deal in August. You could have done this deal next year. I don't understand why it had to happen now. So I think there is certainly something there. And maybe, you know, their relationship, obviously, like, it's been scrutinized for years. It's been under the telescope for years. But maybe this was the year that there was finally some friction. Maybe the idea of Jaylen Brown going out on his Twitch stream all this time and saying how was his favorite season as Jason Tatum was working to get back and watching from the sideline, maybe that finally got to him. And, of course, the usage could play into it as well. Like, Jaylen Brown had a higher usage rate than him in the playoffs. Like, does that factor in as well? So for all these years, like, all the scrutiny and everything that they've been under, possibly it did reach a breaking point this year, and, you know, there was no point of return.
So, Terp, you got to talk to Missoula yesterday, right? And he spoke for a while there. He never is that emotional, so it's always tough to read into his feelings on things. But what did you come away thinking he is feeling about, if you can glean anything, about, you know, the Jaylen Brown departure?
I thought it was interesting that he said he had no input, because I don't really buy that. Like, of course the head coach is going to have input. This is a guy that the Celtics really believe in. So, you know, obviously they're keeping him around this year. So I think he absolutely had input. And the thing that's been clear throughout everyone that's spoken about this is they're going out of their way. They're doing all that they possibly can not to kick Jaylen on the way out here. Like, they want to be very respectful to him and what he was able to accomplish here. So I think that's very clear. But I also think it was clear that they are kind of leaning into a different identity. And I think that identity will be what they did the best last year. Like, they're the best offensive rebounding team, one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, right? You add Mitchell Robinson. So you're kind of, you know, securing that that aspect of your game. Who was your biggest turnover problem the last couple of years? Jaylen Brown. You get rid of him. You bring in Mike Conley, who can be trusted to handle the ball. So I think you are just kind of doubling down on the things that they did well last year. And in turn, you're moving on from Jaylen Brown.
We had somebody from Yahoo on last week, and he was the guy who wrote that article about how analytically Jaylen Brown, you know, was in negative and all that. I mean, it got a lot of play, and a lot of people, you know, took some of the numbers that he threw out there as a way to kind of justify this trade. But the one thing he also said that I thought stuck out was that this trade was a lose-lose for both sides. Like, it was a lose for the Celtics because they only got Paul George back. They got pennies on the dollar. But he also said that you throw Jaylen Brown into a mix over there with the 76ers, and you've already got Maxey, and you've already got Joel Embiid, and now you're throwing in another alpha and someone who's going to want to show you that he is not what those numbers say that he is. Could you see there be some sort of potential for things to implode over in Philadelphia?
100%. All these years of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown not liking each other, you want to see a pair of teammates that might actually not like each other? That's Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid. Like, Jaylen Brown took shots at him on his Twitch the entire postseason. He was talking, the GM relayed something on some station the other day, was talking about how Jaylen's saying he's going to push Joel Embiid, get him in the gym, like, kind of bring a different mentality for him. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a chance that this doesn't pan out. And just from a roster construction standpoint as well, it is pretty weird. Like, you have Tyrese Maxey, obviously, is their number one guy. Joel Embiid's their number two when healthy. Jaylen Brown was slotted in at number three. VJ Edgecombe deserves more touches this year after the rookie year he had. And you got a guy like Anthony Simons, who also needs to get shots coming off the bench. So the whole construction of that team, I don't know. It feels like it's one of those other teams. Like, we've seen so many of them really in, like, recent NBA history that they get all this collection of talent. It really doesn't mesh. I could see this work, that like that kind of happening with Philadelphia.
Well, I'm sure they'll start building the new identity with Ugo on the court tonight at Summer League, Terp. I mean, what are you expecting? Is he going to be Jordan right away, or will it take him a couple months?
I mean, he didn't have a great Summer League last year and did have, by all standards, pretty good, solid rookie year last year. So I expect him to have the ball in his hands a lot. Like, Emile Jefferson was talking about it yesterday. He's coaching the Summer League team, that they expect him to kind of take on a leadership role, which is kind of funny because he's the second youngest player on the team and he's only 20. And he just joined the team because he was with the national team for Spain at the FIBA World Cup qualifiers. So I expect him to have the ball in his hands more, but obviously there's a ton of pressure on him, like so much pressure on him for a Summer League game here, because, you know, everyone knows they didn't want to include him in a trade for Giannis. And, of course, that's kind of going to be tied to him. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And it kind of gives you a good chance to see, like, what he's made of in these kind of pressure situations. Although it is still Summer League, right? You can't put a whole lot of stock into it. But, you know, people are going to want to, especially when you miss out on Giannis. And part of that was because of the reluctancy to include him in a deal.
All right, Terp. So where do you ultimately think LeBron's going to land? Because right now it's the last we've heard is Windhorst saying that the team has made a decision, or like, I guess he's basically signed or he's agreed to joining one team, and it's not the Cavs. Where do you predict that he is going to go?
Maybe that Lou Cornett voice memo for the Spurs really lured him in. Like, maybe that was it. Lou Cornett came in at the final buzzer here and recruited LeBron to San Antonio.
Yeah, how weird is that, by the way, that LeBron was apparently making these teams, like, leave him a voice memo to basically say how much they wanted him, and Lou Cornett took that and ran with it. It's like, all right, I'll leave you a message.
Is that not the most LeBron James thing ever? He's probably just playing those on loop as he's driving around the golf course, using Bronny's clubs, whatever it may be. Bronny is $2.9 million guaranteed salary, which he waited a day after so that salary became guaranteed. Then, like, the whole thing is like the most LeBron James thing ever. So I think if Luke Cornett's message did not work and he doesn't want to go to San Antonio, which I don't think he does, I think it's probably Miami.
Yeah, well, you know what, Miami, the only reason I say it's not Miami is because I think that he's trying to do everything to bolster his resume to be the greatest of all time. And it's not as sexy if you go back to a team that you've already won a championship with, instead of saying, I've gone to four different teams and won championships everywhere I've gone. And if it's the Sixers, it's even bigger because that team hasn't won anything since 1983. So you can also say, well, I mean, look at this guy. He rose us from the dead, and he all of a sudden he brought back the glory days. And if he went to Philly, oh my. Him and Jaylen Brown, those games at the TD Garden, which, I mean, you might have to get earplugs. It's going to be so loud.
That would be incredible for like a coverage for us and like in coverage standpoint here. That'd be great having those two together. But again, like we talked about it, can he put his differences when Jaylen Brown said that Bronny wasn't an NBA player? Can he put that aside? Can those guys mend the fence? I mean, clearly they didn't think they could mend the fence with Jason Tatum. Can he do it with LeBron? I don't know. Like, maybe that's a question mark you got to ask.
Yeah, the only thing, Terp, that I think that where it could actually work is, you know how we said that you've got like three alphas over there all trying to, you know, have ball time between Maxi and Jaylen and Joel. If LeBron comes in, we all know who the alpha is. And so do the players. They're like, well, LeBron's the guy. And maybe he would
and
be
that
the
would
one
make
that
you think it like even more that it doesn't work.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. You might be right. Yeah, then they'll all be miserable that they're not getting the ball enough. Oh, how great would it be if Jaylen was cocky enough to try to get in LeBron's face? And, you know, and try to upstage LeBron. That would be fun. That would be nice.
LeBron on the Twitch stream would do numbers, though.
Yes, absolutely it would. Well, Justin Turpin, great stuff. Where are you going? Are you going to go anywhere, like, fun while you're there? Are you going to, you know, go to one of these, like, insane, you know, dinner places or go to one of those clubs where, you know, people are high off their brains and there's trapezes and stuff?
Really, all of the above. You can catch me at the casino after the Celtics game tonight, though. 6 o'clock local time, that's perfect.
Ooh. All right. Well, you know, listen, they got no double zeros over if you go to the old part of the strip.
Really? Oh, wow. You get the edge.
You get the edge. You got to go down to, like, Binion's, though, you know.
Single deck blackjack.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my type of game, blackjack, right there.
Yeah, blackjack's all right. But you listen, don't screw up the deck. You go to the classy places where the guys like yell at you for, you know, hitting on something. That's always the best. The guy with their feet up on the table and they've got like probably a Kobe jersey on. Welcome to Vegas, man. You'll have a great time.
Exactly.
All right, Terp. We'll talk to you soon. That's
you,
Top Tier Terp.
Tier 1 Terp.
WEEI.com. And as we anxiously await the implosion of the Philadelphia 76ers, whether they have LeBron or not, that should be fun to see.
And you got to admit, Giannis, Bam, and LeBron is a big three. It's an old big three, but if it does happen in Miami, that team also, I think, vaults ahead of the Celtics in terms of favorite in the East.
It's a good team. Like, that's what they need. They need someone like LeBron, and it makes too much sense. I just don't see him going back to Miami because it's just it doesn't feel – that championship wouldn't feel special.
The fans there wouldn't appreciate him. We know that. I mean, compared to Cleveland, if he came back there, God, the whole region would be insane.
That's the one place that apparently Windhorse has said is not happening. Mm. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Seven!
Not going anywhere. Yes, I did it. I said seven. Nice I got job. It right. And we'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minutes. Oh. Watching Ken on the
That's
video is
banger.
Fantastic.
That is a banger.
You did the hands back.
Oh, that's a club. That's a club hit right there.
Shaggy's got the ultimate fat guy voice.
You do an excellent fat tongue voice.
Oh yeah, that's a gentleman who loves the Golden Corral. The drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It is Rich. Ken, Ted Johnson, he's going to be back
Is this a bad sign, by the way? Will Fleming is calling my cell phone right now. The team, I think, arrived, but hopefully Will made it.
Yeah, answer the phone. See what's going on. He's calling it.
Take it live.
Yeah, take it live.
Take it live?
Let's go.
Yeah, take it live. Let's do it live.
Let me call him back here.
Okay, all right. So did he travel with the team or did he get there early?
He's on the charter.
Oh, wow. So...
Put it on speaker.
Oh, I got to get his permission to do that. That's illegal by FCC rules. Let me see if he answers.
That's right. You got to let him know first.
No, he's not picking
by
up.
By the way, he called you in the... I hate when people do that. They call
I'm
going
to text them
and
tell them to call us.
Maybe it was a butt dial.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't listen. The guy's probably freaking out because he just got there. He's probably saying, I'm not going to be able to sound check. You know, I got to... Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Hopefully we'll get there in time.
He's got a whole voice routine that he does the bumbleita, bumbleita, bumbleita. He does that all to get ready for the game before every broadcast. So he's
oh really?
Oh yeah, he's
getting the me.
Exactly.
All right. Now that I'd like to hear. I would actually like to hear that. That would be nice. And by the way, this break's brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And we've been talking a little bit about how Brady allegedly helped out the Seattle Seahawks this past Super Bowl and gave him inside information on how to beat the Patriots. Now, that is a conclusion that many people have drawn. Mm-hmm. It is not a positive, but you did indeed have the coach of the Seahawks, Mike McDonald, say that he had somebody with a conflict of interest give them a hand, and he mentioned Bill Belichick, and he said it wasn't Bill Belichick. And then, of course, there's the story that Tom Brady had reached out to Mike McDonald after the Super Bowl and told him congratulations. Many people are drawing that line. I don't think it's a tough line to draw. Mm-hmm. I also don't think it's out of character for Tom Brady to do that. I think that he does not like how things ended with the Patriots. He still feels bitter. It's like good question publicly.
Good question from Jones and Keith. Would this be worse than Parcells checking out Super Bowl week? Leading up to that game, everybody knew he was going to be headed elsewhere. Like, which is a greater sabotage? I guess in that case, Parcells is on the team and actively. It's like Pete Rose bet if he bet against his team that he was playing in. That's this. In this case, Brady is retired. He's it's his right to do. Yeah. It's just a dirty thing.
I don't think. Like, listen, it's a horrible thing for Brady to have done because I mean he does know the Josh McDaniels playbook without a question. It's an awful thing for him to do, but I don't think that that's the reason that they lost. Yeah, I mean it's. If that's what he did, I'd like for somebody to ask him about it because I just want to hear him kind of like Flintstep his way out of that. Like,
yeah, yeah. What happened to the Jim Gray like nightly podcast? They used to do like a Twitch stream together.
Oh, and you learned so much on those podcasts, yeah, didn't you? Really you? Those did, questions yeah. weren't approved way beforehand. Not at all. Hey, Tom, what does your hair smell like in the morning, dude? Can I get a little closer? Jim Gray and I have a good history. All right, but... What was is that him? Tom.
Hi, Tom. But
I want to play this clip real quick because this is regarding Belichick. That man, those two just went in these two different directions. Brady is like, you know, a weirdo who seems to want to do everything he can so the Patriots don't win. And then Belichick, he's got a girlfriend who's wearing an Orchids of Asia shirt. Like, to me, that pisses me off. What Brady's doing just seems like a dude who's, like, overly competitive. What Belichick's doing is really being an a-hole. Like, that, an Orchids of Asia shirt your girl's got on? Yeah, and, like, but, he's smiling?
You know, he's trying to impress the girl. I mean, so that's, you know, you could kind of write that off as, all right, I get it. He's trying to look cool. He's trying to look hip. Yes, no. It's a shot. It's obviously a shot.
That's a shirt that they don't just make. You got to special order that thing.
Well, right.
Does Bill check off on it?
But like, she probably ordered it for him. Like, you know.
He's in a picture smiling with her next to it. Put it this way. If like, you really liked the crafts, if she showed up with that, I'd be like, get that shirt off. You don't understand. Like, that is out of line. Like, yeah, you'd be pissed. It's probably one of the most sensitive things that's happened in a long time. She's wearing a shirt and laughing about it.
She made him wear it. I mean, you would agree with that. Like, that's her doing. That's her behind the scenes. She thought it was...
He wasn't wearing it, though.
She was wearing it, but he's in the picture with her and laughing with her. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, if my girl showed up wearing that, I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, that's an embarrassment to you.
Yeah, you know what that is, too? That is a moment that if I'm the crafts, you go... dead to me. Like what Brady did.
Well, they already are. I mean,
dude, Bob Kraft brought him on himself there, though. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it's also a thing like mocking someone about it. It's like, all right, dead to me. Like with your girl, and it's not even you either. You got your girl doing it. Ugh. Boy, she's, as I said, she's a prize. His curse is her. Like, that's why. How funny would it be like, the minute she's out of the picture, all of a sudden, UNC, like, wins the national championship?
What's her title at UNC? She's got an actual, like, football role.
Barnacle.
No.
Well, she's suing them for the emails.
Yes, I know. She's just as bad as it gets. All right, so, but I do want to play this clip because this is Mac Jones talking about his time with Bill Belichick. What a weird, when you think back about that whole experience, you know, that first year was promising because you had, you know, Josh McDaniels there, you know, the offense actually, it looked like there was promise, and then all of a sudden Matt Patricia comes in and ruins everything.
People compared Mac Jones to Brady. There were a few. Ty Law was on with Greg in the morning and said, he reminds me of a young Tom Brady. and people were hyped about it. And they made a playoff run. I thought they would beat the Bills that year. They got embarrassed, but there was definitely optimism.
Real quick, while we're on the subject, let's go to line one. Tim, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Oh, hang on, let me punch Tim up. Go ahead, Tim.
What's up?
Hey,
this,
Tim.
This shirt, I've heard it a few times today. I just want to say, listen, I don't like her, but no one cares, dude. Robert Kraft went and got a handy in Florida.
All
He's
right,
the one that's had a good time, not...
I mean, listen, I think y'all know what happened down there. But I mean, but that's a dick. That's awful.
That's kind of what I was saying, except for not in such, filthy terms.
Sure. But
you're always less filthy, Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. If I had a friend who like went through that and like I had a girl that show up and did that, I'd be like, you take that off. Like, that is trust
me. Kraft had just said, you guys remember that he had always planned to give Bill a statue. He was asked, and he said, yeah, that's always my plan.
We'll see.
So, you know, Jordan does that on the heels of Kraft saying that about Bill.
Yeah, we shall see. All right, well, let's play this clip when we get back. This is Mac Jones talking about, behind the scenes, what was going on with Bill when he started to sour on Mac Jones. When things started to turn bad, when it was sniffing a little zappy time, it was definitely a tough person to be if you're Mac Jones at that moment. We will get to that clip right after this.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted, Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Stiz, when are we going to hear some Stiz Grimy?
Friday. Yeah, you know what was funny? You were making fun of, or not making fun of, but we weren't a fan of that Gautier song. I went over that beat, and I think I did it justice.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, well, that I'd like to hear, because the part of that song I don't like is the, you didn't have to turn me on.
Nailed it.
I'm not a big fan of that song.
I listened to an entire Stiz Grimy album the other night, and really, it kept me going. It was awesome.
You're legitimately, like, really talented.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's the thing, is that Boston is very underrated in the rap scene. I mean, between, like, guys like you, Slane, Esoteric. But Esoteric, I guess, is doing an album with Tom Hardy. I know he's the actor. Tom Hardy.
That's
I know
amazing.
He's been friends. Yeah, so they've been friends for a while. And he's like a huge fan of Czarface and Esoteric. And I guess that they're hooking up to do that. You know, by the way, the crazy thing about Esoteric is, I don't know if you guys are wrestling fans. I wasn't a big wrestling fan, but I knew about this. Do you remember the storyline years ago when John Cena like started to become a rapper and he did like rap stuff? It was like near the beginning of when he kind of started to blow up. That was Esoteric who wrote his raps.
Oh, wow.
Did he get paid for it?
Yeah, Esoteric was writing John Cena's raps. So you go back and you listen to it, and you're like, all right, well, you know, because you heard John Cena was like, these are pretty good. It's because they're written by Esoteric. So good for Sheamus. And he's going to be doing that album. I don't know when it comes out, but him and Tom Hardy together, if you've ever wanted to hear Spawn rap, then there you go.
So Ken, real quick, so Esoteric was a local Boston rapper mm-hmm. who then
know this.
Oh, well, just making sure, maybe the audience doesn't, who then teamed up with Inspector Deck of the Wu-Tang Clan,
yeah.
And they made the group Czarface.
What about 7L?
Oh, yeah,
what
Inspector about Deck, 7L?
Well, yeah, along with 7L.
7L in it, is he in Czarface, or I thought it was
yep.
just Esso?
Okay. It's those three. Yeah, okay. Yeah, along with 7L, who is... a phenomenal DJ. But yeah, so there you go. So him and Tom Hardy. Very, very nice. So you rapped over the Gautier song?
I did. We'll play that next week.
Okay, we'll hear that when we get back. Okay, I do want to play this Mac Jones clip. That's a Rich certainly pivot because Bill, he was being interviewed. And Mac Jones is obviously not Mr. Personality, but this was great. So he was on Bustin' with the Boys, and he was asked kind of about how things went with Bill Belichick kind of near the end. And here's what he had to say.
He's like the hoodie on with the cut off. He's very like, doesn't seem like he gives a shit about anything else other than just like.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I felt like early, like first year was great. Like we would eat breakfast sometimes together and like hang out and get to know each other. And then I don't know what happened. It just kind of like switched a little bit. But yeah, he has a personality. Like he's funny, choke on the field a little bit. But I don't know. Just like the personalities were so different. Like that's me, kind of like outgoing and energetic, you know, and like dancing on the field. It just didn't really match up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a big thing. Like But anyways, I don't know. I think it was.
Oh, he got pissed that you hit the gritty.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed. Yeah. And the tee, yeah, he got pissed. I did it one time. And
yeah,
he's
we
like,
had a good time. I danced once and he yelled at me.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like, I hit it the next year during the season or something versus Baltimore. And anyways, he was like, he was showing the highlight. Like, I ran it in or whatever. And then, like, I was gritting, but, like, my teammates were all, like, behind me, like, dancing and stuff. Yeah. He's like, just running away from your teammates. Like, what are we doing here?
Ken, what's hit the gritty mean?
It's that dance that was popular for a minute. You know, it's like the...
As if I don't know, Joe.
I want to see if Ken would know.
I can do the gritty. Of course, we watched Mac Jones do it. I mean, we've seen it on replay a million times. But I thought it was actually Mac as at his most relatable. It's kind of wild that, like, Bill would rip him for that.
Yeah.
Because we used to criticize Mac for being a hothead and, like, yelling at people on the sideline and blowing up and, you know, like, hothead Mac. And he seemed very stiff. That was actually, like, a cool moment, you know?
He got screwed. He did get screwed. Listen, he was never going to be a super talent, but the fact that they, you know, started him with Josh McDaniels and he got a taste of, you know, what he could be with a good offensive coordinator, and then they did that whole Matt Patricia garbage. I mean, he really, really got screwed, and he didn't have a chance. He didn't have a shot. Now, I'm glad things worked out the way that they did, because now you've got Drake May, but I do feel that it makes you wonder, like, how many quarterbacks that are now considered great, if they would have come into a situation where you had someone like Matt Patricia
right.
as your offensive coordinator, how we would maybe never even have known how good you could be.
No, and you wonder how pissed Mac is really about it. I mean, like, he's had chances in the league, and he's not starving. He just signed a new, like, $8 million deal to be a backup. So he's in a decent spot. But would he still be a starter in this league if things had been different? You know, if he had a stable situation with a good coordinator. Like, I do think Bill just, he jerked him around for a while. He had the zappy thing. He was in, he was out. He was trying to send a message. He sort of ruined Mac Jones.
Well, that zappy thing, I remember when that happened. I haven't heard, I remember it had been like 2-3 seasons since I had heard the crowd that loud at Gillette Stadium
yep.
when they put Zappy in.
Yep.
Like, everyone was just ready when they threw him in. And remember that was the year, too, where Mac had reached out to his the University of Alabama
yeah, yeah, to Saban
guy.
And, yeah,
yeah, it's, and Saban, like, tattled on him and yeah. told, like, Bill, and said, yeah. "Now your guy's calling down here, man." And Bill was BS about the whole thing. How dare you go outside the organization? I mean, listen, maybe you could have ended up having a Caleb Durbin Lorenzo situation. You go find your own guy, and all of a sudden magic happens. But, man, Bill was pissed. So pissed about it all.
That's disappointing. But there again, it feels like Bill fell off a cliff in terms of just being able to relate to young guys or to coach in the league. And that does make me second guess, because I do think he wants to get back to the NFL to break the record. But I do wonder now, with some of the stories like this coming out, like, is any owner going to be like, yeah, Bill's got it in him at age 75 or whatever, to come in here and win for a couple seasons? It is a long shot.
Well, the first thing that Captain Man Moves will have to do is he'll have to end up saying that I'm only going to be the coach. I am not going to demand what
right,
I've been
right.
demanding, according to all the reports with Atlanta and everybody else, that he wanted to be the guy that installs everyone around him. He wants to pick the groceries and he wants to be the chef at the same time.
Michael Lombardi to be his GM and all that.
Yeah, right. Like, he wants to bring in his guys and he wants to make sure that he calls all the shots. And he's not going to get that. He isn't going to get that. And you know what? Do I think he could come back and win a few games and be a decent coach? You bet your ass. Dude's still the greatest coach, you know, that we've ever seen. And I just don't think that, you know, he would have to get rid of Jordan, because Jordan's apparently just, like, ruining everything. Like, what's going on? They should study and write books about how bad things are going down in North Carolina. And it should be, you should take a look at exactly, this is the wrong way to do it. Bring your girlfriend in, bring somebody in there who starts ordering everybody around, who wants to be copied on all the different memos. And it's been an absolute disaster. And
the first lady of UNC football, I swear she had an official title, but I guess not. She does not have an official football title.
I have no idea, but that's, you know, all I know is that it's bad. It's very, very bad. Is she still posting, like, a ton? Or
not
is she...
as much. I mean, Stiz, look up what she's posted lately.
All quiet on the Western Front lately, but...
We do have a Red Sox update for you.
Okay.
So the Red Sox have arrived at Citi Field. There is a lineup for tonight. Peyton Tolley has finally met with the media. He was telling them that, it's kind of incredible, they had weather issues last night. They, I guess for 5 hours, went back to the hotel, then got up this morning and had different mechanical issues. So 5 to 6 hours on the plane last night, had to go back to the hotel, got back on this morning, had a different mechanical plane issue, just arrived now. And I think they might delay the game, although that's not official. Will Fleming, we did talk to him a little bit during the break, and he said it's a possibility that they, you know, might push this thing back just till all the equipment arrives and all that kind of stuff.
Like, I mean, this is, it didn't come with them? I mean, can it just go with the play? This is weird.
It is so weird.
I know it's inconvenient to have to start the game early, but they're at the stadium 2 hours before the game, right?
Yeah, an hour and a half, 7:15. I mean, all right. They haven't taken BP. I mean, what if they don't have, I guess the equipment should be with them.
Dude, it sucks, but you miss a day of BP. I mean, you just got to sometimes roll with it. I don't know. I think that's screwing the fans if you have to move that thing back a while. I mean, unless, like, if it's any more than an hour, you're screwing the fans. I don't know why you need to do that. Well, I just don't.
Good news,
John Henry couldn't have taken care of this by getting, like, a better plane out there for him.
Right. I mean, he would have to call somebody in Chicago already to, you know, fix it, but you would think they have connections. But either way, Dan Ball is standing by. He'll have Sox talk until first pitch tonight. So not to worry.
Oh, Dan Ball. Dan Ball. It was interesting when Chris Cotillo was on talking about his theory about Roman Anthony getting sent down to – I mean, it truly, you get sent down to Florida in the middle of July, that's a punishment. And it sounds to me that they just are somewhat over him being around the team and things not getting better. I don't know what's going on outside of that. I'm not going to speculate as to whether he's partying or anything like that, because I've heard some people do that. I don't think that that's fair. I just think that it's just might even be as simple as it's a depressing story that they don't want their team that's now in a good headspace to be around. There's a guy who every day seems to just be like not getting better, and like he's a star on the team. And it just, I can see that if you're Chad Tracy, you're looking at that and going, you know what, we kind of just need to put that in the other room for now. We don't need the guys to be around somebody who's frustrated. Obviously, you can see it on their face. There's a vibe trying to achieve here. And Chad has done a great job in getting these guys to believe that they can win and they can turn things around, because, damn it, they have. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's all part of it. And they're like, Roman, obviously you're not ready. Just get out of here. And they sent him down to Florida. And now he's without. The best is when Breslow said there wasn't enough room in the training room for him. Like, that's
well,
there so isn't. Dumb.
And I'm glad, of course, that you asked me so that I can address this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Brett.
He was very glad. He laughed. Oh, yeah. I mean, how ridiculous is it? Let me give you an answer that makes total sense and will clarify everything. Not enough tables in the training room.
Quit ripping on Brez. He's turned this ship around, baby. And
oh, it's him, too. Yes.
They had good news on Connolly early. Not as, you know, just inflammation. So he and Rangers should be back after the trade deadline. They have some.
Nice.
We might get a Brian Baio tomorrow. Like it or not, he's standing by in case he's needed. But I think Sandoval, who started yesterday, that's good trade bait for you. If all these guys stay healthy, you can trade a pitcher from a position of depth, a starter, and get back some offensive help. But at this point, you know, it's probably boring, but they're going to wait up until the trade deadline to make a call, right, one way or the other, whether they're
sure.
in or out.
But how great would it be if Baio came back and he's...
And he was fixed?
Yeah, fixed. Like, how great would that be?
He made 4 starts in Worcester. He had an ERA of 4.3. 22 strikeouts to just 4 walks. So not horrible, but...
Not good, though.
You believe that's fixed? Yeah, I mean, the first inning tomorrow is going to be dicey, let's be honest.
It would suck if he's ruined, because he showed so much promise. And also, I don't like that. Like, that scares me, that something can get in your head so bad that it can ruin you. And we've seen that happen with athletes before, and I don't like that at all. I don't wish, and not only do I not wish it for anybody, it scares me, because I'm like, what could happen in my life where all of a sudden just something's turned, like I'm just driving into walls, like I can't drive anymore, or something like that.
You keep saying 5 instead of 7.
Now, that is weird. That is something that does need to be
studied.
That's
your Brian Baio issue.
It is. 617-779-7935. Just kidding. 7. And we will take your
7!
Calls. 7! We will take your calls next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Teddy J back with us on Monday. Also 617-779-7937. I hear we have a fresh Shams report.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ken Laird?
Well, Vegas related with Shams, not Celtics related directly. However, this... from Shams, he says Bam Adebayo, or as Wiggy would call him, Adebayo, and Tyler Hero got into a physical altercation in Vegas on Friday in which Bam struck Hero, sources tell ESPN.
What?
Bam punched Tyler Hero's lights out, apparently.
Hey, he's probably like, I've always wanted to do this, and now that you're not on my team anymore, let's go.
You better keep Terp away from the Locked On podcast people. It's just violence everywhere in that city.
What did they? Is there any details as to where this was, how it got started?
Nope, that's it so far.
Oh man, Bam probably kicked his ass pretty hard.
Here it is. Okay, Sham says follow up. The altercation occurred at a practice court in a Vegas hotel this morning. Sources said, starting when Adebayo approached Hero about comments the guard made critiquing the center on social media after their 7-year run in Miami ended. So,
what did he say? Do we know what the comments were?
I don't know what comments he's referring to, but here we go.
Does Tyler Hero have the most punchable face in the NBA?
I think literally yes now.
Now it has been punched. Oof. Oh man, that's pretty good. Like the minute they were, maybe we're going to hear that about Jason Tatum and Jaylen.
Yeah,
Brown.
Don't let the Jays get at each other.
They aren't together.
Jaylen already liked the post. Who knows what can happen next?
Who knows? All right. So I was going to hesitate reading this because this is so bad. It's like so bad that it must be discussed. The Hollywood Reporter, we were talking with Chad Tracy the other day about like the best baseball movies, and I was telling him how I had a friend of mine who said that it was Field of Dreams, and I don't think he could be my friend anymore. and Chad, he was even kind of like lukewarm on it, and he agrees with me. He thinks that Major League is one of the best baseball movies. But The Hollywood Reporter came out with the 25 greatest sports movies of all time, and this list is so – it might be one of the worst lists I've ever seen.
Don't tell me Fever Pitch is on there.
No. Fever Pitch is not on there, thank goodness. Because then it would just – then there's no – you can't even give him cred. I mean, that could be the worst sports movie of all time.
Oh, it's really the worst movie of all time.
It might be. And the thing is, you don't have to be like a serious sports movie to be good. I enjoyed Celtic Pride. Yeah. I thought that was somewhat enjoyable. No problem with a young Daniel Stern. And was it Marlon Wayans?
It's also the Farrelly Brothers, am I right? That's their work.
I mean
Fever Pitch.
Oh yeah, it was, but the Farrelly Brothers have struck out a decent amount. Like
they did Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber. Like to go from that to Fever Pitch is unreal. But
they had a stretch of kind of not great movies for a while. Like
Three Stooges.
So Three Stooges was perfectly fine. Like I think that the fact that they made it was weird, but I saw it and I was like, all right, it just feels like you're watching adults make a Three Stooges movie. It just seemed perfectly fine. It was like almost like way too sincere. Mm. But no, like Shallow Hal, and then there was the one where they were like tied together. It was like Matt Damon like stuck on you.
Me, and myself, and Irene? No,
that's good. Me, myself, and Irene. The three sons in that are hysterical. Every single time, they make me laugh. No, they have the top. This is Hollywood Reporter's top 25 greatest sports movies of all time.
Okay.
And I'll just give you the top 10. And number 10, The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner from 1962.
What?
Never even heard of it. And it's on this list.
Is this Bob Ryan's list?
Yeah, right. Number 9 is ampersand at signal negative sign. That is for – he just tweeted the whole thing.
Peter Gammons and Bob Ryan put it together.
There's no one who butt tweets more than Bob Ryan. I do love it when Jones and Keefe do. They have Bob Ryan tweet.
It's the grab bag special.
The best thing he ever tweeted was one time. It was like, you know – I don't care what people say, but the SpongeBob musical is the greatest I've ever seen.
That's fighting words for you after seeing Les Mis.
Well, listen, I mean, SpongeBob, Les Mis, it's 1A, 1B. Number 9, Bring It On in the best greatest sports movie of all time, the cheerleading movie from the 2000s.
Yeah.
Number 8, Rocky, which if you're going to put any Rocky up there, I don't care what anyone says, it's Rocky 4.
You and I agree.
Yes. Number 7, a legit good one. 8 Men Out. That is an excellent movie.
Classic.
Whether it deserves to be number 7 is questionable, but it is very good. Number 6, Breaking Away, the cycling movie.
No, never seen it.
Number 5, OJ, Made in America. that's not a sports movie. That's correct. A murder movie.
I'd rather have Naked Gun in there if we're going to use OJ.
Right, exactly, right. If you're going to exclude him, then, you know, definitely I Must Kill the Queen. Reggie Jackson was in that too, so it's a sports movie. Number 4, Bull Durham. Okay, fine. Number 3, When We Were Kings, the boxing documentary.
God. Don't tell me Seabiscuit's coming next.
No. Seabiscuit was perfectly fine. Number 2, Hoop Dreams. Everybody has that near the top. Yeah, whatever. Okay. And number 1, greatest sports movie of all time, is Raging Bull. Yeah. And I'm looking down this list, and it's got these movies like Offside, the soccer movie from 2006, Sugar, a baseball movie from 2008. This is when I was going to the movies.
This is like an artsy list that's just too slick by half.
This is the Hollywood Reporter?
It's the Hollywood Reporter. And so I went, I was like, okay, let me compare this. And let me look and see what, like, Rolling Stones. Like, I said, give me another list. And Rolling Stones sucks. Like, they have, like, at number 10 is North Dallas 40, which I never saw. It's, like,
it's good.
In the 70s.
It's good.
I'm sure it's fine. Number 9, The Endless Summer from 1966.
Mm-hmm.
When We Were Kings, Slapshot at number 7. I will contend that Slapshot is like Fast Times. Fast Times is not a good movie except
Fast Times
Spicoli.
Is a great movie.
I don't think it's a good movie. I think Spicoli's great. No, everyone else, the rest of it was kind of the guy. It's about the tunes, man. The stupid ticket sales guy.
Yeah, he gets his action by the end of the movie. And
yeah,
then leaves
but who
that
cares
broad.
About that? It was but it was like that movie was depressing. I think that Slapshot was Fast Times because if you took out Spicoli, it's not a good movie, and if you took out the Hanson brothers, I think that Slapshot's not a great movie.
Oh God,
that's your worst take since we started.
Yeah, that was fine. Bull Durham, number 6. Number 5, Caddyshack. Okay, now we're
great.
Talking. Number 4, Raging Bull. Number 3, The Bad News Bears. Number 2, Rocky. And number 1, Hoop Dreams. A little bit better, but this list has got like Bingo Long and the Traveling All Stars. Where is Friday Night Lights? Where is Major League?
Yeah,
where's Hoosiers? Mm-hmm. Hoosiers.
See, they should just do like a fan list. You know what actual human beings would say is their best sports movie of all time, and it's not these. That's not it, obviously.
There is a great one that's on here though. It's one that you should definitely watch. It's called No, a documentary. And it is a documentary about the time that Doc Ellis was high on LSD and pitched a no-hitter.
Ooh.
And it's a great movie. And it's barely a film. It's like 90 minutes long, I think, if I remember. But it's just how to pitch a no-hitter on LSD. And Doc Ellis did it back in the day. Blue Chips, underrated. That's on this list, too. That's at like number 18.
Big Lebowski should be in there.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, Big Lebowski is on there. Number 13, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
There you go. They put The Natural on there at number 12. As I said, I'm kind of a sucker for The Natural, as stupid as it is. The Wrestler, wildly depressing, great movie.
Good movie.
Comes I love
very good.
It.
Yeah.
That is good. And they've got Miracle like at number 21.
Yeah.
And Miracle was one of those when I saw it at the theater, I loved it. And then I watched it years later, and I didn't think it was that great.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's got that speech, which everyone
it's
seems
got the
to
speech.
Love.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's the good part. Yeah, and Sandlot not on the list, so there you go. All right. What a day,
man. What a day,
man.
You left it all on the field, Rich. Good job.
Well, that's just what we do, Ken. Mm-hmm. You and me. We're lunch pail guys.
We are.
Come out there. Wear the hard hats to work.
Yeah.
You know, men's league, as Johnny Gomes used to say. Oh, well, let's go Norway, all right?
Yeah,
let's
go tomorrow.
Let's go Norway.
McGregor, you going to get the McGregor fight?
I'm not. I'm
going to see Young Washington in the theater.
Yes, I will be seeing Young Washington. Go Conor McGregor, even though I'm not going to pay to watch it. If it was free, I'd see it. But all right, everybody, have yourself a fantastic weekend. Good old Teddy J will be back on Monday. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, listen to Stiz Grimy. You can hear his stuff on like all the streamers and everything.
And officially, Red Sox Mets is delayed until 7:50.
Okay.
That just did. 35-minute delay.
Bad. Not bad. All right, everybody, have yourself a great evening. We will see you again next week. Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Paying for college or graduate school starts with understanding your options. But new federal loan limits and confusing lender offers can make borrowing feel overwhelming. MIFA is here to help. For nearly 45 years, Massachusetts families have trusted MIFA for competitive fixed-rate loans, predictable payments, and expert guidance throughout the borrowing process. The next step in your education deserves a trusted partner. Find a loan that's right for you at MIFA.org.
Today's Match Day Preview is presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Download the Fanatics Sportsbook app today. Winning hits different here. Norway looks to continue their magical run through.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.